Welcome to Getting Sports with Drunk. I'm your hostess, Cupcake the Riddler, and I'm joined by
Solzy,
Mock,
Sheen Washable,
Nope,
Jammer,
and Kendall.
Yeah, and you gotta remember, you're a household appliance, Mock. It's Mock Sheen Washable.
It's horrible.
You're leaving out like a lot of syllables.
Well, a big applause to Jammer for he knows the timing, so he doesn't just say his name, so we can get the Mock Sheen Washable in there.
Makes he's got this good pause going.
Wish I could be household appliance.
You are, Kyle. You are
Solzy Fork.
That's not an appliance.
Solzy Fork.
You could be our toaster.
That's right.
Yeah. Private stock getting hit early.
Yeah, I'm okay with delving right into the private stock. So, starting lineup, our producer, Mr. Kendall Reed, was the chosen one to select our beers for today. So, you went a little off kilter here. We didn't all get a different beer. We all have the same beer. Tell us what you got.
Today we're having our first GSWD Oktoberfest. So we have from all the way from Germany.
Wow.
We have a Steins as well.
Yep.
I don't think I can pronounce it.
It's Hofbräu.
Hofbräu.
Oktoberfest.
Oktoberfest.
Hofbräu.
He got the imported mini keg. The 5-liter mini keg. So that's pretty cool. Draft taste.
There you go.
So we have our toast to excellence. Seeing as today is going to be a show all about the start of the NHL season, our toast of excellence is to Jaromír Jágr for getting onto an NHL team finally, joining the Calgary Flames late in the offseason. So welcome back.
It's good stuff. It's good stuff. Iron Man of the
Iron
NHL.
Man. So toast to Jágr.
Puck yeah.
All right. Puck yeah. Yeah. Private stock for you, Jeff. Speaking of private stock, I also have to do some private stock. We're changing things up a bit, but this is pretty gross. So this is going to be my disgusting shot for the day because I got the trivia question wrong. So I'm going to delve into this.
I gotta stop making bad.
Kendall, do you remember what's in this at all?
A little bit. This is the second release of the private stock for GSWD. This kind of includes some bourbons, some scotches.
Pretty smooth after the initial flamethrower in your mouth.
I remember Mark also
there was
has
a
to
couple
do...
of different Jamesons in there.
Yep, the Caskmates is in
there
as well.
There were some
well
Tito's.
Black Barrel Tito's, yep. Seagram's VO.
And it's bottled in, which includes some of the liquid, Seagram's VO.
You know, the thing is, so it burns immediately, and then it gets really mellow, you get a lot of flavor, and then it continues to burn. It's like, if Everclear had a flavor, this is what it would be.
Analysis.
Jeff doesn't seem too impressed.
Mark, you have to do one too.
This is a hockey show.
Your team is still winless.
Nah, this is a hockey show.
You know, I think you should do one.
Nah, it's a hockey show.
So I have my shot to delve out now between you gentlemen. So I did do a lot of math for this one. Turned out I didn't have to do that much math. A little bit, but...
Just ran some quick equations.
As we said, our toast of excellence was for Jágr. He is now enduring his 27th season in the NHL, dating all the way back to the 1990, before any of us were born. He's played for quite a number of teams.
That's
a lunatic. He's got a traveling fan club called the Traveling Jágrs that all dress up as Jaromír Jágr and wear his jersey with the mullet and everything. So from all of the teams he's played for, if you add up all of his jersey numbers, you get this number. What is it? Come on, no silence.
All right, 99.
99. So you're saying for all the teams he's played for, his jersey numbers only add up to 99.
I don't know what his number would have been. What if he was a couple fours in there, or
sure
18?
He wore like 61 year. I'm going to go with 312.
Okay.
See, I'll stand by my 99, but I wish I had a base number.
297.
All right.
381.
381. All right, so Kendall, you lose, but none of you were even close. It's 612. He wore 68 for every team he's played for, which includes the Penguins, the Capitals, the Rangers, the Flyers, the Stars, the Bruins, the Devils, the Panthers, and now the Flames.
It's impressive.
So, yeah, I was like, oh man, I don't remember if he wore 68 everywhere. He wore 68 everywhere. So all I really had to do was look up how many teams he played for. I did all this nice math out. It's just a 68 9 times. So Kendall, you get to do a shot next show.
All right, I'm very excited.
Yeah. All right, so we said NHL show. We're trying to get these young bloods over here, the household appliances and the newborn
the
father to be all that up to date with NHL. We're trying to get them more like the psycho hockey players that we love.
We want more hits.
Yeah. I think the best way to lead it off is, you know, I don't think we've really delved into our favorite hockey teams on air before. I mean, they're in our bios on Facebook, so if you haven't checked those out, check those out. So we'll lead off with Mock Sheen Washable, big hockey fan. Unfortunately, we didn't get a chance to do a fantasy draft on NHL and figure out who your favorite team would be like we did with NBA.
Yeah, I kind of came in already with one. Well, I used to kind of have two, but one fell off because I got rid of the two players I liked.
Anybody who's listening right now that loves hockey is going to really cringe at the two teams he's going to say he liked.
Well, I grew up, my dad was always a big Rangers fan, so I kind of always sort of followed them. And then a friend of ours, Shane, brought me to a hockey game. Really got into the Bruins for a few years.
Nothing like loving two teams that just want to murder each other.
But I liked two players on the Bruins, and they traded them both, and I was done with them. Go Rangers.
All right. Your goal is, by the next show, and we're going to hold you to it, and if you can't do it, no notes. It all has to be from memory. You have to do a shot if you can't do it. I need you to name me 12 players on the Rangers.
Yikes.
Kyle?
Rick Nash.
I am a Penguins fan.
It's still determined between all of us if he's a bandwagon Penguins fan or not.
No.
He absolutely is.
Yeah.
He said he's always liked the Penguins.
I'm a Pennsylvania fan. I never really liked the Flyers.
You never watched it.
Have you, Jeff?
Always,
have you?
All the time.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
Look at the anger in his face.
We'll segue into some bandwagon fans.
Legitimate anger we
Kendall,
have.
Kendall, Jeff, who are your favorite teams?
We like the Blackhawks.
Kendall's really gearing up for a dual right. Blackhawks
yeah,
there.
You really ruined it for me.
Now,
I wanted to see how you'd go solo there.
It's funny. It's like, so by definition, it's bandwagon, but they don't like the Blackhawks for championship purposes. They like them because...
You like them.
You like them.
Yeah, pretty much that's all there was to it.
Essentially.
Jeff and I lived together. Kendall was over a lot. I watched a lot of hockey, including the Blackhawks, so... Which means I'm a Blackhawks fan, but I'm Chicago everything, so I'm no bandwagon fan. I remembered when we sucked, and it was fantastic.
Hey, Chicago runs on Duncan.
That's true. That's, yeah. Look at that.
I know.
That's Jeff's favorite player is Duncan Keith. Who's your favorite player, Kyle? Kendall? That's a shot. That's a shot. Yeah, I'll take a shot, but who's your favorite player?
I was going to go with Andrew Ladd, but I think it's going to be Duncan Keith as well.
I like Ladd. I'm a big Ladd fan. What did you just say, Jeff?
Just I said I need a shot of that private stuff.
We'll hand it right over.
So the season started. We missed the beginning of the season. It didn't coincide with recording, the delay between recording and posting. We're only a week in. I don't think any team's played more than three games yet, not counting tonight's games. So we're gonna have Mock and Kendall. They're gonna do some hosting here, since I'm gonna be doing a big portion of talking. So.
Well, first out of the gate, Paul. I mean, you've probably watched more than any of us here.
Nope.
Who's a hot team?
Well, you could say the Flames are on fire.
Yeah,
we'll take it.
No, and pass it on back.
The Flames are actually not on this list. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of an expected trio. I tried to pick like the three hottest teams. Toronto is on fire. They're the highest scoring team in the NHL right now. I think they're at, not counting any action tonight, I think they're at 19 goals for the season.
Wow.
The next team is the Blackhawks. They're 2-0-1. Their only loss coming in overtime to the Maple Leafs. They're the second highest scoring team with 18 goals. So, you know, a lot of offense early for those teams, which is, you know, there's a big question mark on what the Blackhawks were going to do offensively. And St. Louis, you know, they're 3-0. They had an impressive opening night win against the...
Penguins.
Against the Penguins, so...
Good.
It's good. Yeah.
So on the counter of that, who's a team that's not?
The Predators are 0-2.
So that's
we didn't
not.
Jump in
it's
there.
Dead answer to it.
Definitely off to a bad start.
Well, after going to the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, they went to the Stanley Cup. They weren't able to get the job done. They started off very slow. Got shut up by the Penguins.
Still
who...
early, but...
Yeah. Again, this is all, you know, this is all just after a week of hockey. Obviously, everything can change. Injuries, whatever the case may be. But you said the Predators, you know, they haven't played a home game yet. But San Jose's 0-2. They're not looking that hot right now. They haven't played... as well. Their top guys haven't been performing. Nashville, they got shut out to the Penguins. They lost 5-3. I don't remember to who. And the Rangers haven't really looked that good. They did put a good win together against Montreal on Sunday, but I mean they haven't really looked like themselves. So
surprising start, the brand new Las Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah.
That's an interesting team name. I don't know how you guys feel about that.
It's a little long.
Did you guys ever, I mean, this isn't hockey.
I almost want to get rid of Golden.
Did you guys ever watch the Like Mike? You ever watch that movie?
Yeah.
Bow Wow. I was watching one of the Vegas Knights games, and the commentator, they were coming up the ice on a fast break, and they said, "Here come the Knights." And I literally just couldn't help but immediately think about the NBA commentator saying it when the Knights were coming back against the Raptors after Bow Wow came back, and it just killed me. I mean, yeah, Vegas is 2-0. You know, they got a game tonight against the Coyotes. They already beat them once, took it to overtime. They're a question mark in my book. I don't want to say they're hot because they're a new team. They're not going to be too hard to figure out, and there's not a lot of chemistry. And James Neal's doing, you know, their big acquisition from the Predators is doing pretty much all their scoring.
Well, they came back versus Arizona there. They were behind the whole entire game, and the last
It was like the last 5 minutes they scored, then they scored in overtime. But again, it was, you know, James Neal had one of those goals. He scored both their goals the other game. So if nobody can pick up the slack, I mean, James Neal would need to put up about 80 goals.
Wow.
Which isn't going to happen. There's only one player that is pretty much on pace for that. We'll get to him later. And then Montreal and Pittsburgh are kind of my other question marks. Again, it's too early, but Montreal's a powerhouse team. Pittsburgh's a powerhouse team, both out of the East. Pittsburgh's 1-1-1. They did have an impressive third game. You know, they shut out Nashville, who does have high power offense capabilities.
That's got to hurt Nashville
too. But they lost their home opener in overtime to St. Louis. Then they got decimated, even though it was a back-to-back, but they got destroyed by the Blackhawks 10-1. So, you know, both their goaltenders did not have good outings in their first game.
Niemi needs to retire.
It's veteran leadership. He's played well. I mean, he got the Stanley Cup, but he's still young. He's still not as experienced as you'd like him to be. Niemi brings in that veteran leadership. I mean, he's a cup winner with the Blackhawks in 2010. He's been on a lot of playoff teams. You know, he's on the Sharks for a while. He's got leadership. At the same time, I mean, the Blackhawks, they just had it clicking that night. 10 goals is not something that just happens. I mean, even against bad teams, you'll see a good team win.
The Rangers lost 10-1 too, right?
I think it was something like that. There's a couple teams that put up some big scores.
Getting the rust out, I guess.
But it's goaltending. I mean, Price has had, you know, he's played well, but he's had some rough patches. Canadiens as well. They're losing right now. We have the Blackhawks-Canadiens game playing around in the background. And so it's question marks early. Is it a sign of things to come, or is it just a rough start? So we'll see what happens. I got to do my private stock now. I need to whip my whistle.
Now, you already touched on him briefly, Paul. The only player right now on pace for 80 goals is Alex Ovechkin. What's he already have, like 7 goals on the season?
Yeah, so he's disgusting. age is
an understatement.
Well, I mean, as you guys know, he's up there. I mean, he's on the wrong side of 30. I don't know exactly how old he is, but he's up there. You know, he's been around for a while. Not to say he can't score goals. He's a consistent 40-goal.
He seems to always be scoring a million goals.
But he opened up the season, to those of you who hadn't been following your non-favorite teams, Ovechkin opened the season with back-to-back hat tricks, had a 4-goal game and a 3-goal game. That's pretty insane.
How about the sauce, baby?
I mean, there's a lot of players that posted hat tricks early in the season. I want to say it was, can't remember who it was. Oh, Brandon Saad for the Blackhawks posted a hat trick against the Penguins. Wayne Simmons had a hat trick in the Flyers' first game. McDavid's had a hat trick, but to put 2 hat tricks up in back-to-back games, it's just insane.
Didn't he have one like in the first period of one of the games?
I don't know if it was that early, but he did have it pretty early. It might have been the first period.
I saw the headline. He had it quick.
Yeah, he had it very quick.
Yeah, it's about the sauce.
I don't see Sid Crosby on that list.
Well, Sid Crosby.
It's a question mark thing. And, you know, that's going to be a fun thing. You know, I'd love to debate it with Kyle because, you know, Kyle stands by his guys more than any other person at this table. And, you know, I wish Kyle knew a little more about hockey, but hopefully later on in the season we can have the debate about who's the best player in the NHL right now, because it's not Sidney Crosby.
Hey, it doesn't have to be.
But Kyle will argue it once he realizes that he, you know, the stats and whatnot.
It's all about the selves.
It's Connor McDavid. He's the best. End of story. But, yeah, I mean, Ovechkin's just gross. I mean, the guy, you know, he has, like, no teeth. He's Russian. And he scores a lot of goals.
He's just a good dude, man.
Yeah.
Just a good dude.
Great
man.
Insight, Kyle. Great insight.
Well, I need you to quickly transition here.
Ooh, I see what you did there.
Yeah, shot.
It's looking like, you know, Jonathan Quick is looking like he's back to how he was, because I know last year was kind of a rough year for him, and so far it seems like he's playing pretty well.
He was hurt last year.
Yeah, he missed a lot of time last year. You see, Jeff Martin is our stats insider for the NHL.
I didn't take this job. It was forced.
No, I mean, I can cover Quick. That's not a problem. No, it's all right. I got it.
Wrestle for it.
You know, the Kings have played, I think it's 2 games thus far.
2 games.
He's averaging a half a goal allowed, which
only
is
only half a goal allowed.
Pretty insane.
It's pretty good at the start of the season.
His save percentage is above 98, which is, you know, fantastic. Insane. He's got a shutout and he's got 2 wins. You know, he's looking like he's back to form. Which
also,
he's just quick.
Shutout. Man. He has a shutout.
Yeah, he has a shutout.
Jeff, you're doing a great job.
Thanks.
I didn't think anybody else heard that.
Quick is just, I heard you. Quick is just, he's the cornerstone of that team. When Quick's not playing well, the rest of the team really struggles. It's really tough. They're a team, the Kings, that have a lot of potential. You know, of course, they won 2 Stanley Cups not too long ago.
Yeah.
But when Quick's not on his game, the rest of the team seems to really suffer. They have a top-notch defense. They can score goals. but it just seems like when he's not in net, they're...
Well, they have two great goalies now, don't they?
I'm not sure what the status is with Ben Bishop. I actually haven't looked into that.
All right.
You say they live and die by Quick.
Yeah, that's pretty much how
it is.
If he's
on, they're on. If he's off, they're off.
I mean, Montreal's another team that has a superior goaltender that they kind of rely on a lot, but they tend to perform okay without him. So it's a little tough, but what are you going to do?
Now, here's something that's interesting. I feel like in the NFL, you hear a lot about rule changes, but in NHL, you don't. And this is something I wasn't even aware of. They changed the faceoff rules?
Yeah, so faceoff rules have been kind of like a real big deal this season and the offseason leading up to it. The long and the short of it is the faceoff, you know, if you've watched hockey, there's 9 faceoff spots. You've got 5 in the neutral zone, and then you've got 2 on either end of the ice. There's little L shapes outside of the dot. The skater is supposed to have a skate in each side of those L's, and they're supposed to be squared up with the other side of the ice. They're not supposed to, they can't have a shoulder dipped. They have to have their stick down. They can't, you know, they can't be doing any sort of thing that gives them the advantage. You know, the minute you put your right shoulder down, you're not squared up, you already have the advantage to get in, and they're trying to stop that. But the problem is this rule, much like in the NFL you talked about, you know, how many rules in the NFL are not black and white? Roughing the passer calls, hitting low, you know, pass interference, what is, what's not, hitting, you know, illegal hitting with your crown or your helmet, whatever, all that stuff. There's all these, you know, you see them every week, and it's the faceoff rule is really suffering from that.
Mm-hmm.
Last night was a prime example. I was watching the Blackhawks playing the Maple Leafs. And Taze was, you know, a superior face-off man, was thrown out of the circle, like, I don't even know how many times. And there's not really clear reasons as to why he wasn't in the circle, like, why he got thrown out. It's kind of, it's just, Brad Marchand has spoken out against it already. He's been thrown out of the face-off circle when he does take them. You know, Krejcik has been thrown out. What's his name? I'm missing his name there. Bergeron's been thrown out. It's a lot of star athletes and star face-off men that, you know, that's what the center's job is.
Mm-hmm.
They're not getting the chance to do what they're paid to do. And when you have somebody like Taze, who's a 70% faceoff guy, high 60s to 70%, you know, get thrown out, and then you have a left winger who takes maybe 12 faceoffs a game, or I mean a season come in, it takes a big chunk off of your ability to get the puck.
Is it something that will get better as the season goes on, do you think? Like, as they adjust, or is it just going to be like a pain point all season?
It just seems like it's annoying right now, doesn't it?
It'll get better as time goes. People will adapt, and they'll kind of learn what certain refs like. You know, any sport, you know, once you've seen these, whether it's umpires, NFL officials, you know, NHL officials, NBA officials, you kind of get a gauge, just like with players. You do your scouting for players and, like, what their tendencies are. Certain refs have certain tendencies. You know, there's NFL refs that are more likely to let a stiff arm 20 yards off the line of scrimmage go, as long as it's not blatant or, you know, something aggressive. There's same thing with NHL officials. There's certain officials that will just let him play versus ones that are very
nitty-gritty. I know that Ed Hockley's crew throws the most flags in the NFL. Is there like a certain type of refs for NHL?
That's just because he wants his biceps as on the camera as often as possible.
What's in that Saints game, dude? There was like 30 flags.
Well, that's on the team, so yeah. I mean, let's get away from that.
Here's the thing. I haven't really looked too in-depth into the NHL officiating. I don't really know if they work in pairs like they do in the NFL. The thing, too, is the NFL has a set amount of games that are played, and they always play, you know, one of 3 days out of the week, with the exception of that random Saturday they like to do in December. Mm-hmm. You know, hockey, just like baseball and basketball, is an every-night thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, certain team, like, NFL groups do stick together, officials. You know, they call a game in Pittsburgh, and then they just travel to go call a Flyers game the next night. But I have no idea how it works.
I always think if it's not broke, you shouldn't fix it. What do you think about the rule change? Is it something that you agree with personally?
It's one of those things where it's like, I just think the official should have cracked down more on the old policies.
Yeah.
Because the rules were kind of, it's funny, like the rules were changed, but they weren't. It would, really what it is it's the NFL or the NHL officials cracking down more on the dippings of the shoulders, yeah, or not having, you know, being squared up to the other opponent.
Dipping.
But the other thing too is there's weird faceoff rules. If the faceoff is taken in the center ice, it's a rule that the visiting team has to put their stick down first.
Really?
That's a rule. Just like it's a rule that, I don't remember which team it is, but there's a rule that a certain player has to scrape the ice off of the faceoff dot. It can't be the other team. It's got it. So there's weird rules. So they're cracking down on all of them, but it just kind of seems like it's kind of overkill. And so they're not. So there's not a lot of explanation into why.
Additional rule change that I don't really know what has changed. I didn't know really the rule before was on slashing.
I mean, Jeff and I were talking about it earlier, the slashing rules. We were talking, you know, like, it's, again, you know, related to the NFL thing. You're trying to protect certain parts of players. You know, they get rid of leading to the head with any body part, you know, to avoid concussions and whatnot. The slashing rules have really been kind of upkept, and Jeff and I were talking about it. They're just, you know, there's high sticks, which go to the face and whatnot, and hookings, but slashing, a lot of times, they're trying to protect, you know, fingers and hands. They got gloves, but they're not as thick as you think. I mean, because you got to remember, they got to move their fingers. Yeah, it's like it's not like a mitt. It's a real glove
that's got hands to be protected at the end of the day.
And, you know, Jeff was saying he was watching one of the games, and he saw one of the players get slashed right across the back of the hand.
Did not look fun.
Right.
I'm not trying to be a part of
that. Why don't we do that to you right now?
For the right price. For the right
price. The rest of your beer.
All right.
It's just tough. I mean, the slashing rule, as an NFL fan, we've all seen it. There's certain things you agree with. There's certain things you don't. Cam Newton last year just bitched and moaned about being targeted and whatnot for hits. And it's like, you want players to be protected. You don't wish injury upon anybody. Exactly. Like, even no matter who you are. I hate Aaron Rodgers, but I don't want him to actually get his collarbone broken. I might scream it 6 or 7 times a game, but I don't really want it to happen. Kyle's a vindictive who wants Joe Flacco to die.
Oh, yeah.
But he doesn't really mean that in his heart.
I don't know.
I know.
Yeah, he sucks now, so it's okay.
So the slashing calls, I mean, there are slashing calls that, you know, there's slashing that is on purpose. You know, it's meant to be type thing. Like, they're mad, whatever the case might be. They're trying to pick a fight. But a lot of times, you know, slashing calls, you're trying to get the stick around, and you just don't get it down in time, and it comes across the body instead of down at the skates.
Now, real quick, what is the financial danger to these players? I mean that because you always hear, Terrell Owens was, you know, fined $650 million for, you know, doing whatever. Wow. I feel like you never...
That's quite the fine.
It's just a whatever. Don't worry,
he borrows money from DMX.
Yeah. They got the same broker. But I feel like you never hear that type of thing.
There are fines. I mean, fines usually come more for things like dirty hits and high-sticking calls. Duncan Keith had one, I think it was 2 years ago, right before the postseason. He got hit into the boards. He went down. He'd been beefing with his player all game. And he got up, and like he just swung his stick right at the guy's face and just cut his cheek open, which, you know, it's a penalty in its own right, but he was fined for it. Slashing, they're trying to add
that. Just turn the other cheek.
Oh, hey, I like that. Pro private stock.
God, we're burning through this tonight. Yeah. This is unheard of.
They're going to start weighing down on fines more for slashing calls. Just because you see it. Who's the... Was it Nick Perry for the Packers right now? Mm-hmm. Is playing with this big cast on his hand to his club. You know, Pierre Paul did it after he lost his finger for a little while.
J.J. Watt did it for a while.
You can't play hockey with a broken hand. It just doesn't work. You need, you know, two hands on the stick. You know, you're not scoring goals with one hand unless you're Alexander Ovechkin.
Pierre Paul was raining fists, too, at that club. That was a lot of fun to watch.
So,
no, I got a question for you.
Yes.
So, new teams always come and go. Like, everyone thinks about new teams, right?
Yep.
The three destinations are Milwaukee, Houston, Atlanta. What are what destination do you think it would be the most sense?
Well, those aren't the three main destinations.
Oh, but they are.
No.
But
that's what's written on the board.
Well, so...
Yeah, you go ahead.
I need it.
There's prefacing that needs to be done with this. There is no actual... There's talk about it. There's rumors, but there's no actual confirmation that a 32nd NHL team is coming into the works. It just makes sense. Because the way things are right now, there is 16 teams in the East, and there's 15 teams in the West. Before the Vegas, it was 16 and 14.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, it doesn't make that big of a deal, but I mean, on paper, in black and white, it gives Eastern teams a more disadvantage to make the playoffs. You're competing, you know, you're 1 out of 16 versus 1 out of 14. So, you know, there's been moving that's gone around. I mean, big market teams, you know, or big market cities are Milwaukee. You know, the Bucks are finally starting to come alive in the NBA. You know,
can I cut you off a second?
Yeah, yeah.
Would it be fun? Should we go around the table and say where we think they should go and give a reason why?
Sure.
All right.
No double dipping.
All right. I'll go first. I think they should go to Houston.
Why?
Because I like Houston.
Saw that coming.
Well, I mean, I think everyone saw it coming.
Well, Houston's a big spotlight, too, because I don't remember the guy's name, but the owner of the Rockets said that he, if it makes sense, if it, you know, if on paper it works, he'd put an NHL team in the stadium tomorrow. I mean, granted, it's revenue. He'd like to own an NHL team. Yeah. you know, we look at all, you look at all these sports teams across all sports, and there's only, granted it's in the South, but there's only one Texas hockey team. And Texas is big enough, has enough cities to have more than one. So Houston's yours?
Houston.
Because you like Houston?
Because I like Houston, and I think it's a big market area. It has a big, you know, draw for, you know, cultural icons in hip-hop and whatnot. And that's kind of me just, you know.
Big in, that's yeah. big in hockey. Yeah,
that definitely well, brings a good hockey. Hip-hop well,
it,
and hockey.
It could. Who's to say not? I mean, you know, Drake, you know, from, you know, goes up and watches one Toronto game, and now everyone, you know, is hanging out there.
Well, he's probably watching Golden State now, well, wherever he flops to every other
Jeff, day. What do you think?
I'd like to see him here in Connecticut.
There's talk about that.
It's kind of a, maybe not that big of a long shot, more of a dark horse, I'd say.
There's been talk and rumors about it, but it actually, it's funny, there hasn't been talk about an expansion team coming to Connecticut. There's been talk about the Islanders being sold back to, or being sold to Connecticut to become the Whalers. Because the Whalers, as everyone knows, the Whalers, Connecticut fans, heartbroken, you know, the Whalers are sold, they move to Carolina, and then they win a championship.
But you know what, though? When the Whalers were here, no one went to games. They had no one in the stands. Their attendance was horrible, so they moved. It's tough for a professional sports team to be here in Connecticut. You're between New York and you're between Boston.
Well, I think the big problem is I don't think it was as much attendance as it was just, you know, like tourism is the real thing. I mean, like there was plenty of fans, but the problem is too is like, granted, yes, I mean, Connecticut has plenty of like things you can do, but it's not a tourist site. The other thing too is you look at Hartford versus a place like Boston, New York, or Houston. There's just not enough room to put a full-size capacity building.
Yeah,
the Civic Center is not that big when you look at it compared to other places.
You take, like, a trip to New York, sometimes you find yourself, oh, let's just, you know, we'll go to a Knicks game for a week. You come to Connecticut, like, well, the same thing.
We have the Essex steam train and riverboat, so pack your bags.
Moving on.
Yeah, you can have this.
Tickets sold.
I like your thought process a lot, though, with bringing a team to Hartford, making the Whalers a team again. I mean, we have the Hartford Whale, but
something.
Get rid of that.
I think it would be good for a few seasons, and then people would stop going again.
So the thing is, I think it would be more successful now. I think it would be more successful now because hockey has really grown a lot. And the other thing, too, is you look at teams like, if it's an expansion team, for example, you look at teams, you have the Islanders, you have the Flyers, you have the Sabres, you have the Devils, the Rangers, and the Bruins. All those teams are not that long of a drive to come visit, to come watch your favorite team play an away game. And a lot of those teams are good. I mean, Buffalo's kind of on the rise a little bit. They're looking better. Boston's always contending. The Rangers are always contending. The Islanders have McDavid, who's a hot young guy. The Devils are contending. The Flyers are looking good. So, you know,
think about the Connecticut fans. Say they like the Flyers. They like this team, that team. You know, they'll go to the Whalers versus them.
I think it would be more successful now than it was then. Hockey's gotten bigger. And like I said, there's more.
I'd love to see it.
Fans can travel to see their favorite teams play away games. Because there's a plethora of teams in a very small region in the New England, New York, Pennsylvania area. So, I think it could work. Mark, what do you think?
You know, it's tough. As soon as Kendall posed the question, the first city I thought of was Tulsa. I have no idea why.
Has a good ring. Do you have a name of the team?
No.
The Tulsa Tornadoes.
That's probably what they'd be.
But
I have a website.
I don't know.
Tulsa Turpentine.
What?
I would like to see, just for once, a professional sports team in Alaska. It makes no sense to do it, but it would just be cool to see.
It would be fun.
I mean, Alaska wouldn't be that crazy for hockey, because you consider how many teams there are in Canada.
Yeah. True.
Granted, I mean, the time, it would be a completely different time zone. I mean, it's not like, I mean, like Dallas, when the Dallas has to travel to Toronto, I mean, that's not something you just, you know, you're okay,
probably
we're just
don't
gonna
look
travel
forward
to
that matchup.
Yeah, we're just not going to travel to, you know, we're just going to go to Toronto for 3 seconds. You know, it's no big deal. It's a heavy trip.
Yeah.
Kyle?
Bring back the Thrashers.
Gross.
Like, I get, like, the team name and everything was not cool, but, like, Atlanta was a team. And I feel like the fans miss him a little bit.
I don't think so.
Wasn't that a horrible, like, skateboarding magazine?
Thrasher?
Thrasher.
I think it still is a magazine.
Atlanta's tricky. I mean,
it's a big city.
So, essentially what happened was Winnipeg sold the Jets to Atlanta. They became the Thrashers. And then when Atlanta decided that they just couldn't house an NHL team, nobody went to watch it. And the team was bad. And it just didn't work. They sold them back to Winnipeg, and that's when the Central Division got all screwed up the way I hate it, and that's when the Red Wings went out to the East. So I would love, personally, I would love to see a team put in the East, because I'd like to see the Red Wings come back and be a part of this Central Division, because the Central Division is the one that's down a team now. So I would like to see the Central Division gain the Red Wings back and get that Blackhawks, Red Wings, Wild, Blues rivalry going again, because the Red Wings were always, they're always a tough grind team to watch.
Yeah.
So yeah. not Atlanta. Not Atlanta.
Do you have a city in mind?
Yeah, Miami.
Miami?
No, not Miami. I'm just kidding.
Tulsa, right?
You want Tulsa? Pretty quick.
Tulsa. It's tough. I mean, like, part of me really wants to see another team get added to Canada, but I just don't know that they really have the big cities for it. I mean, if you're a fan of the Goon, you could have the Halifax Islanders. Hey. Islanders come in. That'd be cool. It's tough. I mean, I could see a team doing well in Seattle. You know, they don't...
It's funny. You'd think there would be a team there.
I could see a team doing well in either Seattle or Portland. So I think those would be, like, decent big market type things for people to come in. It's not that far of a trip from California for fans that want to go up and watch them. They've already got fan bases up there with the Seahawks, the Mariners. They've got the Trailblazers in Oregon, you know, the Ducks, you know, the college team. You know, there's definitely people there.
There's sports people there.
Yeah, sure. And the thing, too, is like, you don't have to worry about, you know, like the Mariners do. You don't have to worry about rain because it's indoors. So...
It'll be the first open like top.
The NBA, they're always talking about trying to bring a team back to Seattle. And the biggest issue is competition. If you add another team, it kind of dilutes the competition. Do you think, NHL, do you think that's diluting competition or evening it up? Because, I mean, you look at the Golden Knights, they're the newest team. It's early, but they're starting off good.
Yeah. So, really, they've already made their bed by adding the Vegas Knights, so they pretty much need to add another team now. They need to have 32. It needs to be 16-16, so everyone's got fair chances at the playoffs, and scheduling is a little easier, and it needs to work. In an ideal world, I don't think the Vegas Knights should have been created. Nothing against, you know, the Vegas Knights, their team, the fan bases that might be out there. I just think that they should have just moved a team from the East to the West. They should have just put Detroit back in Detroit.
Seems like the easier move.
And made it 15-15. Now, that makes it a little more difficult because now you have just two divisions per conference.
Mm-hmm.
So you might have to kind of divvy it up to the NBA style where you have three divisions because, unlike the NBA, NHL does seeding on divisional standings. So it's a little difficult, but at this point they've made their bed. They need to add a 32nd team. It's inevitable, I feel like, and it's just a matter of when.
Yeah.
You don't want to add one next season because it's just too much too soon.
No.
Definitely. Especially when you have to, like, especially supplemental draft wise, you know, you don't want to keep taking players from teams.
What if we put a New Orleans Pelicans in the NHL?
Same type of team?
Same name, logo, everything. Just hockey.
You know, Tom Benson might be about that.
Well, that's the thing. You know, when you look at the big market places, you know, you look at Milwaukee, you look at, you know, big ticket places. As much as I would love to see one in Connecticut, the problem that Connecticut faces is they don't already have the facility. I mean, they have the XL Center and they have the Civic Center still. The Civic Center is still around, right? They got demolished. Yeah. So, but it's not really like a big venue anymore. And it's just capacity wise, it can't compete. But you look at Atlanta, Houston, Milwaukee, Portland, a lot of NHL teams share buildings with NBA teams.
Right.
They already have the stadiums.
Put them in with the Yard Goats.
Hey, I think, you know, the Hartford is bringing a lot of...
Could you imagine 41 home games outside? That would be such a pain in the ass.
I feel like Milwaukee would probably be the best bet. You know, it's a colder climate. People in Milwaukee only had the Bucks and the Twins, right?
Milwaukee, Minnesota?
Shot?
Yeah, dude.
Milwaukee. It was Brewers. Milwaukee Twins, right?
There's the Brewers, yeah.
I love the Milwaukee Twins.
Been a rough day, Kyle.
They have a football team, too, just not in Milwaukee.
I just feel like Milwaukee would be the best bet. Cold climate. Fans love them.
Well, you could add another team that would, like, make the playoffs and then leave pretty much immediately.
This guy's toasted right now.
It's been a long day.
It's tough. I don't even know when this could happen. That's the problem. Like I said, supplemental drafts is the big thing. Teams already gave away players.
Yeah.
You see things like the supplemental draft. There's only X amount of players you can protect from each position. And then
it wouldn't be fair to put all the teams through it again.
Well, the thing too is a lot of teams, because the Vegas Knights, they benefit obviously because they get draft picks. But a lot of teams, like the Bruins, for example, you know, there are certain young guys that they didn't choose to protect because they haven't been that established yet. But a lot of teams offer trades. They offer picks to go ahead and do, hey, I'm going to give you this pick and this pick. so that you don't take this guy I can't save.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you just, you know, a lot of players that don't get saved are players that are kind of on the up but haven't proven themselves yet. The Blackhawks' biggest one last year was Marcus Kruger. He's a penalty kill machine, face-off machine, not really that proven offensively. And when you have players like Duncan Keith, Brent Seabrook, Taze, Kane, Crawford, you can only afford to save so many people.
Yeah, exactly. That's why it wouldn't be fair to do it to him again this soon, I don't think.
I wouldn't even imagine it happening for maybe another three seasons or something.
I would say 3 or 4 is a good bet.
Yeah, it's going to take time. And the other thing, too, is I guess if Vegas works.
Yeah,
I mean, true. I don't know.
You can't really judge him off.
This is the honeymoon
of Las Vegas.
A lot of tourists.
But right, a lot of their team is banked off of tourists, and I know that they've officially have been given clearance from the NHL. You can actually win tickets now in casinos.
That's pretty cool.
That'd
be like a good incentive for the people of Las Vegas.
So I'd say that the thing, like them going to Vegas, to me was genius because they don't need to have a home fan base.
Yeah, well, the thing with Vegas is Vegas is struggling in its own right.
Yeah,
I mean times aren't that easy in a lot of places. A lot of people aren't traveling in. If you book a trip to go to Fort Lauderdale for a week with your family, it's a trip to Fort Lauderdale. You're paying for airfare and hotel, and then you pay for food while you're there. Maybe go out to a movie or something. Vegas, it costs more to stay in Vegas for the week than it does to get there. Like, you pay for airfare and hotel, and then you probably spend just as much, if not more, on golf times, gambling, hookers, all those things just happen.
Yeah. I mean, take Clark Griswold, for example. I mean, took his family out to Las Vegas and, you know,
lost it all.
But I mean, fortunately, Randy Quaid was able to help him out with the money there in Vegas.
Do you remember Randy Quaid's name?
I don't think I can remember.
I know it.
Do you know it?
It was Cousin Eddie.
Cousin Eddie.
I wish I had a Cousin Eddie.
You got any damn bait?
You have an Uncle Eddie.
I do.
That's close.
He's going to be living
Shout
with
out.
You are?
Yeah, I'm glad he's moving in.
All right.
Let's save that for the personal show that we do. You can catch our personal shows Sundays at 1 a.m. on Oprah Network. Yeah, I mean, it's exciting. Hockey season's here. It's my favorite time of the year. Just a lot of stuff happens. I love football, but it's gotten kind of somewhat predictable. The NBA is pretty much almost predictable.
Good
shot, yeah. Go Pelicans.
I'm a White Sox fan. I love watching my favorite team, but I can't really sit down and watch the Yankees play the Twins, and it's just too long for me.
This time of year,
they need to drop the MLB season to 10 games. You either have it or you don't. End of story.
This time of year is great because, like you said, hockey's starting, basketball's starting, football's going, and then it's the baseball playoffs. So you have like everything going at once, and it's great. Unless you're a Giants fan right now, and it's horrible. Kyle, this is a hockey show.
So I encourage you, if you're not a hockey fan, to give it a whirl. I know a lot of people, you know, I've talked to a lot of people and it really drives me nuts. You know what the like most common feedback is for people who are like, oh, I don't like watching hockey? I can't find the puck. That drives me nuts. You can't find the
it's not that hard.
It just
and there's nothing like going to an actual hockey game.
You don't even need to know where the puck is. It's so much fun being there.
Yeah.
Which we are doing this year. We're gonna go see the Bridgeport Sound Tigers play.
All right.
Excellent.
So we're going to Vegas.
Let's probably
say
not
that,
Kyle.
Say
well, the other thing, too, with hockey and NBA, the leg up that they have in terms of viewing a sport from your couch versus the MLB and the NFL is it's not as easy to be at-home officials. The dumbest thing the MLB ever did was implement the stupid box strike zone on your TV.
I hate that.
And the
so
dumb
much.
Yellow line in the NFL. How many times do you hear NFL commentators, remember the yellow line's not official?
Not official.
Then the guy gets the ball down and goes, oh, that doesn't look like it's close based on the yellow line. Yeah. Well, okay, what does that mean? Thanks. And the strike zone is just, it makes people at home. If you're by yourself, great. Chris Sale, that should have been a strike, you know, bottom corner, screw you. But when you're at a bar and it's a mixed crowd and people are getting mad, it drives me absolutely nuts. Luckily, you know, that's impossible to do in the NHL. It's impossible to do in NBA, and thank goodness.
I got something that's really grounded my gears, too.
Oh, go ahead.
It's kind of off topic, but at the same time, it's not. I'm sick of people trying to sue baseball teams for getting hit by foul balls.
Yeah. You're talking about what, the Yankees, right?
Pay attention.
Yeah, you know it's coming.
Well, there's signs.
There's signs everywhere.
You take that risk. Like, everyone's just I'm not opposed
to the league implementing that every stadium should have nets they extending to third base.
Definitely. I mean,
you know the players feel bad when they do it.
Well, yes, yeah, no player's yes, like, oh, yes, glad I hit that guy.
It makes me so mad. Like, oh, I was blinded by a foul ball. You're probably you know, sitting
well, hold
on.
Who's that? Who's that guy that caused all the problems? The one that I can't remember his name.
Josh Hamilton.
No, he hit the guy,
technically. If you
he hit the home run and then he just like stood at the plate and like watched it and then jawed with all the players in the infield as he was rounding the
Carlos
bases.
Carlos Gomez.
Yeah, him. He's happy when he hits a fan with a baseball. Yeah,
I hate him.
He's really happy. He actually goes and gets it and autographs it and then gives it to himself.
Like this year when Todd Frazier hit the little girl in the face.
No one wants to see that happen.
He was sincerely like
he was crying.
He was in tears. There were a lot of players in tears.
Him and Holiday.
I definitely agree with the netting being extended. I'm just so sick of hearing about, we're suing the team.
Well, people don't want to do it because it implements it. We've gotten way off topic, but a lot of teams...
This is a hockey show.
A lot of teams don't want to implement it because, well, it kind of extends into hockey, and we'll get into that. A lot of teams don't want to do it because, it obstructs viewing for the high-paying seats. First of all, most of the time, no MLB team sells out every game. It doesn't happen. There's 182 games in a season, so you play
162.
So you play what is that? 81 home games.
Yeah.
You're gonna tell me you sell out 81 home games? Every time I've been to a baseball game, those are the seats that aren't filled. It's the outfield
even the
seats
ones right behind the backstop. Yeah. There's a netting and fence there.
Just for one game.
City Field does it.
Like
don't
Jeff
they?
Just said, for one game, get rid of the netting behind home plate.
Watch how much people appreciate it.
Let them have it.
Yeah. Well, the Mets have it. Don't the Mets have netting all the way down the baselines?
So I think
a lot of teams have implemented.
I think they started
so
to do that.
Yeah, it's
they'll
if
all get over. Fans will get
if
over.
You can't look through.
Go
if you can't look through a thin wired net, there's bigger issues at hand than the amount of money you're spending.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're blind. But
the NHL has done it. The NHL has higher glass around from the blue line in each offensive zone, wrapped around to the other one to prevent the puck. And they've got netting. They didn't always have that.
That happened. Didn't like a lady get hit and she ended up dying, didn't she?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is like I'm not going to take anything away from baseball. I mean, it's a small little ball, but it has more give to it. I mean, if you watch a baseball get hit in slow motion, it kind of absorbs into itself.
Yeah.
And I know it can come off the bat. Frazier's, I think they said it came off the bat at like 101 miles per hour or something like that.
Girl's a champ.
And it hit that girl in the face. A hockey puck has no give to it. It's just a solid piece of rubber with sharp edges.
That goes
and those things,
right.
I mean, if you watch NHL, if you watch like the All-Star game, was it Zdeno Chara hit one at 108 miles an hour? I mean, players break the netting. Shea Weber hit a puck so hard, it broke through the netting on the goal.
Yeah.
That, and it's got sharp edges. I mean, it should just be implemented. End of story.
End of story.
You know what you're getting into when you buy the tickets.
Exactly. We've delved into time a lot, but I'd like to bring up one more NHL thing. I'd like all your guys' opinion.
What do you got?
So this year, being that it's one of every 4 years, the Winter Olympic falls into the NHL season. The NHL has decided that they are not going to allow NHL players to break away from their teams and play for their home countries in the Olympics. Because usually the NHL takes a halt pretty much during the month of February for teams to do that. And the NHL, much like baseball, there's a lot of players from foreign countries.
Yeah.
You know, the World Baseball Classic, other nations' teams besides the USA are filled with players from the MLB. Hockey's the same way, more so. I mean, Finland, Sweden, Russia.
Yeah, all the European teams.
Canada.
Canada's full of
Cuba.
USA, too. I mean, so this year teams aren't going to do it. And certain players have spoke out against it. Certain players haven't really voiced their opinion. Certain players, like Ovechkin, you know, big name, big player for his team, said that he's going to do it anyway.
Good.
And, you know, so I haven't really looked into that too much because it's all speculation. But, you know, what does that mean? Is he going to be suspended? Because the NHL is not going to stop for him, which means if he does it, he's going to be missing 6-7 games for his team. And the other thing, too, is usually the All-Star game doesn't happen because of it. The All-Star game happens in February. They want the All-Star game. They want fans to be able to enjoy the All-Star experience. They want players to stay home and have their teams come and play. So what do you guys think about, you know, the NHL kind of stepping in and saying, hey, you're not allowed to represent your country in the Olympics. You have to, you're a paid member of the NHL by your team. You're here to play.
I really hate it. I see the NHL's point, like, you know, you're signed on contract with us, but at the same time, it's your country. These guys have been doing it for years. They play for their country. They represent where they're from. The NHL wouldn't exist without all these different players from these different countries.
The other thing about it, too, the NHL, along with soccer, is probably the most global game.
100%.
So you have fans in Europe that want to see these guys play for their countries, and the players want to do it. I don't think the NHL should be the ones that make the decision that you are not able to do this.
And that's what sucks, because at the end of the day, it's a business, but I just hate seeing changes like this that take away from the global aspect of the sport.
So the players should be allowed to play for the country, but also another thing, the NHL, they have a D-League team. These players have an opportunity to play while the stars are gone. I think that's an opportunity for a lot of players, you know.
So you think the NHL shouldn't pause? They should just call up players and let stars choose to leave.
That's a good happy medium. I'd like to see them pause like they've been doing. Like I said before, if it's not broke, don't fix it. But if you really have to, if you're in the NHL, let them call up players. I think that is a good happy medium.
That is an interesting.
That's like
turn.
The 40-man call-ups in baseball, exactly.
That is an interesting idea, because then, you know, if around that time you have teams that are, you know, fighting for a spot, then it's up to their players to say, hey, you know what, I'm not going to play, I'm going to stay here and help the team, or I'm going to go to the Olympics and
a big problem with it, too, is you look at it, and it's not something that they can just work around and make it part of the NHL season, because it only happens every 4 years. If this was something that happened every single year, it might be different. It might just be, okay, hey, the NHL season is from October to January and then March to June when the Stanley Cup. So it's different because it's every 4 years. Kyle, you got anything to weigh in on it?
Well, I like the whole concept that, like, they're not going to... Oh, like...
Kyle, are you drunk?
It's been a rough day, Kyle.
I think Kyle is wasted.
Kyle's done.
If I wasn't confident, he'd vomit all over his microphone and make him take more private stock.
Oh, no. He's got the hiccups going. We got to wrap this up.
No, I'm good. So, they shouldn't stop. The players should have the right to choose whether they want to play or not.
It's kind of what Kendall said.
Yeah. Like, if they want to go to the Olympics or they want to play for their team. It's their right to choose on where they want to go.
My whole standing on it, and I mean, I've never really looked up articles on the matter, because I'd really like to see like an actual interview, and I haven't really looked into it too much, but I would love to talk to a player, especially when you look at like Canada, for example, a team that's so well-rounded in the NHL and then has a lot of people that can go for the Olympic team and make a difference. I mean, Sidney Crosby, Jonathan Toews, Shea Weber, all big names. I want to know, you know, like I want to sit down with Jonathan Toews or Sidney Crosby, and I want to ask them, what means more to you? I mean, a gold medal for your country or winning the Stanley Cup? Like, what one, you know, feels sweeter? I mean, because Sidney Crosby would be a perfect person to ask. Captain of the Canada team, won 2 gold medals. Captain of the Pittsburgh Penguins, won 3 Stanley Cups.
Exactly, because it's a whole different, like, as a fan, you're not out there playing. You're not out there every night giving it your all. You don't know what they want, not what they want, but what means more to them.
It'd be interesting to watch. I mean, because... When baseball was part of the Olympics, did a lot. I mean, I wasn't really following it at that point that much. But when baseball was part of the Olympics, did baseball players leave their MLB teams to go play in the Olympics?
I believe it was kind of like how the World Baseball Classic. I think the only difference was the change of name. Really, I think it was kind of the same thing.
Because the Olympics happened in the summer, though, in the heart of the season.
The major league players stayed with their team. They let the minor leaguers go to the Olympics.
Oh, okay. All right, that's interesting.
So, to build on your theory, what if you let, you know, the quote-unquote D-League NHL players go do the Olympics? I mean, actually, I hate that. Never mind. If you're a star and you want to represent your country, you should
you should have the choice.
It's tough because we have nothing else. We have nothing else to base it off of.
I know.
No other.
And at the end of the day,
basketball doesn't play tough in the summer, so all the NBA players can go play. There's no issues. You know, I mean, some of them are asked not to for injury purposes, but they can do it if they want to, if they're offered the opportunity.
Yeah.
The MLB, like you said, it was a rule that the minor leaguers were allowed.
It's just the players felt more towards playing for the team more than they do the country, because it's not the same thing towards hockey.
What do you mean? Just saying MLB players didn't feel...
Like the MLB players...
They didn't feel the need to represent their country as much as they needed to represent their team.
I think you'd find a lot of players would disagree.
Yeah, like that's what the World Baseball Classic is. That's why they made it, the World Baseball Classic. So the players can play during the
World Cup. I'll agree with that.
So the baseball players decided, hey, I'm just going to play for my team, try and win a World Series. To them, that's more important than...
That's true. And you play 162 games with that team. It's a little. Yeah. That's what I mean. It's a little different from hockey.
There's nothing to base it on. There's nothing. Which is the problem.
Quite like
the flip side to it. I'm not personally a fan of it. I really enjoy watching hockey in the Olympics, and I like watching these stars go out and play with rival teammates and people that you wouldn't see them play
with. It's almost like an all-star game.
I mean, Marian Hossa and Zdeno Chara, big heated rivalry teams, especially when the Blackhawks played the Bruins. They're neighbors in their home country, and they play together on the national team. I mean, there's players that get the opportunity to do this stuff, so it's interesting to watch. The catch side of it is it's really going to be interesting to watch what happens in the Olympics now for these star players that can't play, because forever it was Canada and the United States. Russia would make a run. Now you're going to have teams like Finland, Sweden,
yeah,
these teams that have their own hockey leagues in Europe and that are going to let their players play. And it's going to be interesting because you might see, you know, Canada has no shortage of people that play hockey in it, but it's going to be interesting to see what these European stars do for their teams. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, I'm excited.
We'll talk about it when the time comes.
Yeah.
Well, we'll wrap up. I know our producer is telling us that we need to shut up.
Well, speaking of baseball, be sure to talk. We're going to talk about.
Be sure to talk about.
Be sure to talk about. We're going to talk about.
Oktoberfest has done a number on us for this show.
Especially Kyle.
Yeah, we're sure well aware.
Kyle's ready for bed.
To say in so many words.
I'm good, man.
Be sure to check our show. We'll be doing a show in a couple weeks to kind of do an entire MLB postseason wrap up before the World Series. Do our predictions of the World Series. I believe as of right now, it's the Astros have beaten the Red Sox to move on to the ALCS.
Which
the Dodgers,
my Dodgers Red Sox prediction.
Right, the Dodgers beat the Diamondbacks, so they're in the NLCS. And I don't know if the last time I checked, the Cubs game was postponed, so I don't know if they're playing it. And then it's Yankees and Indians are tied 2-2.
It's gonna be tough. Strasburg's not pitching tonight,
so but stay tuned. Probably 2 weeks time, we'll have a whole postseason wrap up.
We got you guys. Don't worry.
Yeah, we're not going to let you down.
Or we will.
I won't fail you this or we next will. Time, guys.
Kyle, you'll fail them every single
always
time.
The best.
Probably.
Except when it's not.
Milwaukee Twins.
Make sure to follow us on all social media.
Be sure to find us on Facebook and Instagram at Getting Sports With Drunk. Twitter is GSWD_4.
Make sure to use the hashtag GSWD for all your daily needs, whether it's sipping private stock or loving the Milwaukee Twins.
And be sure to find us on Podbean, iTunes, and the Leib Sports Network.
Search it.
Yeet!
And also, check out, we're going to be doing the Stein Challenge. That's going to be up on all our form social media. We don't know who the lineup's going to be yet, but there's going to be the Stein Challenge for Oktoberfest.
Kyle was supposed to record this, but I think he's going to go immediately to bed as soon as we stop recording.
I'm good, bruh.
That's usually famous followed by words. Vomit and then going to bed.
You're about to ruin your new Under Armour long-sleeve shirt.
V-A-R.
Well, from all of us at Getting Sports With Drunk, I'm your hostess Cupcake the Riddler.
I'm man of many names.
Mock.
Oh, I got interrupted. We didn't even do a beer review.
Oh, yeah. We almost missed that.
Shot, bro.
Yeah. All right. So, Souls, what did you think of the beer?
It was f-ing fantastic. I'm not going to lie. I love this f-ing thing.
I don't think anyone should say a word. I think we should wrap it up with that.
That pretty much seals the deal.
We here at Getting Sports With Drunk love this thing. We'll see you next week.
I'm Joanna.
And I'm Nate, and we are Stranger Than.
We discuss a variety of mysterious topics, ranging from historic events to present-day urban myths and legends.
Please join us. Look up Stranger Than Podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and most other of your favorite places to get podcasts. Also, check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/StrangerThanPodcast. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care.